stop what you're doing. The insurance guys has a really big ask prior to this Justin Sloan episode. If we have ever provided any value to you whatsoever, please, please, please go to theprotege.show. That's theprotege.show and vote for Justin Sloan. You don't even have to create an account. All you have to do is accept the cookies, click Justin Sloan's name, hit submit, and that's it. Thanks, guys.
What's up, independent agents? Are you driving your clients off to the carrier self-servicing platforms after the sale just to minimize your service demand? Stop doing that with the premier mobile and web agency solution, Glovebox. Now you can keep your clients in front of your agency at all times, all while delivering the carrier self-service experience that will minimize your service costs and absolutely wow your customers. On top of that, Glovebox will help you increase your cross-sales, referrals, and overall retention with an easy-to-use policyholder interface. Trust me, guys, we are using this at Portal Insurance, and this is literally happening. We are selling policies and servicing policies through our app. Schedule your demo with Glovebox today, and be sure to mention the Insurance Guys podcast for 20% off of your subscription for the life of your account. Guys, it's so cool that I can tell my clients, download the Portal app. Thanks, Glovebox.
Insurance agents from around the world, welcome to the Insurance Guys podcast. My name is Scott Howell, your fearless host and leader, insurance agency owner and insurance evangelist for iProtect Insurance and Financial Services, based out of Huntsville, Alabama. And before we get started on today's episode, please help me welcome. He is a 6'3" sophomore from Pendleton, Indiana, a parade first team All-American, Rivals five-star recruit. He is a fantastic insurance agent and a great American. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome the incomparable Mr. Sean Kirby. How are you, Sean?
I'm great. That was just as good as I expected. Thank you so much.
Sean Kirby, co-hosting the podcast today. He's going to help me fly this DC-747 to wherever we're going today. And brother, I am proud to have you on. Congratulations on becoming a co-host of the Insurance Guys podcast, man. I love you.
Thank you. This is Christmas for me, man. This is Christmas.
For me as well. I have been looking forward to this day for a few weeks now. I knew kind of before you knew. And then you reached out to me and we went back and forth. But here we are today. And I'm excited to have you. So, Sean, before we get started, I have to get you to do me a favor. Next week is, I believe, starting the 13th of September, is Jason Cass's Brain Share down in San Antonio, Texas. I am on a Facebook group that includes Jason Cass, David Carruthers, some other people. We have a podcasters Facebook group. I'm taking the entire month of September off from social media. I'm not on any platforms. So a couple of days ago, I had not talked to those guys in about a week. I sent Jason Cass and the group a message. You need to have him read that message aloud to the entire group at the Brain Share because it is just phenomenal. It is phenomenal. I'm not going to tell everybody what it is. I'll let you guys enjoy it down there in San Antonio. I wish I could be there with you guys. I've got to, I'll be going up to West Virginia that following Monday to speak at the Big Eye Conference up there. I'm really excited about doing that. And then, of course, our other co-host, Mr. Bradley Flowers, is on paternity leave right now and having babies. And I do want to say, first podcast back, I got a message, and I can't remember what day it was, but it said, 4:03 a.m., Mr. Luke Flowers arrived in the world. And on behalf of myself and my family and everybody that's friends and family with Bradley and Laurel, I just want to say congratulations. It's a big deal.
Absolutely. Congrats, Bradley.
Yeah, yes, buddy. Sir. So, okay, I got my first multi-billion dollar idea of the day. I have a multi-billion dollar idea every day of the week. Here, Sean, you got to help me out with this. Today is my multi-billion dollar idea. Somebody, anybody out there wants to take this and run with it, they can do this. I had an idea this morning while I was driving into work. Why doesn't Southwest Airlines, the Greyhound of the sky, partner with Lazy Boy recliners and put Lazy Boy seats in all of their airplanes? Don't have to be as big as a full-blown recliner, but you know how shitty airplane seats are. What if the Greyhound of the sky had Lazy Boy type chairs in all of their aircraft?
You might be the next Jeff Bezos with that idea, because I'm not sure anybody but a billionaire could afford that.
Did it. I mean, well, they can afford it. Southwest is a multi-billion dollar company. I have like 5 shares of Southwest Airlines. So I basically own the company. Mm-hmm. And I'm going at the next board meeting, I'm going to propose that we partner with Lazy Boy and put Lazy Boy chairs. They could still be the same size and, you know, kind of only go back a certain way. But can you imagine how comfortable a Lazy Boy chair would be in a Greyhound airplane like that? How wonderful mm-hmm. that would be.
How much would you pay for a seat like that?
I pay extra, $25.
Is that like first class or no?
Well, they don't have first class. They used to have the boarding bullshit that you do on Southwest, which I've never understood that either. But I would pay $25 more to get my Lazy Boy chair instead of my regular crappy chair that you get in when you go get on an airplane. I'm telling you guys, I'm on to something here. Somebody wants to take it and run with it, please do. Guys, we have got a fantastic podcast for you today. I am so blessed and excited to have a friend of mine. He and I have chewed a lot of the same dirt, and he knows what I'm talking about, and I will get emotional right now, and I'm not going to do that because I promised myself I wasn't going to do that. He is a fantastic insurance agent. I consider him a good friend of mine. I don't get to talk to him as much as I should, even though I do have his cell phone number here, but I want to give him the introduction that he has always deserved. And before we get started, he was on episode 103 of the Insurance Guys podcast, if any of you guys want to go back and listen to him. He is originally from East Hampton, Connecticut, and he currently resides in Cromwell, Connecticut. He is a graduate of Central Connecticut State University, and he is a 13-year veteran of the insurance industry and former commercial underwriter for both RT Specialty and SH Smith & Company. He is the principal agent and owner at BSP Insurance in Meriden, Connecticut, and one of the 3 finalists on the reality show that is sweeping the nation, The Protégé. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor today to introduce to you second-time guest on the IGP, my friend, Mr. Justin Sloan. How are you, Justin?
I'm good, Scott. Thanks for having me on. And Sean, pleasure to meet you today.
Justin, we have so much to talk about today. So much to talk about today. But before we do, I think it is incumbent upon you and I both to tell our listening audience what the Protégé is. I think we talk enough on this podcast about David Carruthers. I think most agency, commercial agents out there probably know who he is and what he does with Killing Commercial. Explain to everybody what the Protégé is, where they can go watch it. I've watched 5 or 6 episodes. I just got through with episode 8 this morning, but explain all that to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, David, like you said, has the Killing Commercial Insurance program for middle market commercial insurance sales training. I actually approached him, I would say, a little over a year ago. I've known him for some time now as well, but I knew he had the program. We spoke about it for a little while, and then he hit me with the price tag. And at the time, you know, it wasn't something that I was willing to financially commit to because, as you're aware, I'm pretty heavy in the real estate investor insurance niche, and it kind of didn't really jive with what our insurance agency was doing at that time. So long story short, he put out, I think it was on Facebook or something, about the Protégé. And basically what the concept was is he did receive hundreds of similar inquiries that I was doing. And I think people were kind of tripping over that price tag. So he said, you know what? David's a really generous guy. I know you know him pretty well, Scott, but you know, I don't think a lot of the people in the world know that, and they need to know that. So David decided, you know what, I'm going to create a competition and I'll allow anybody to enroll into this program, but they got to win this competition. So basically I think he had about 80 to 90 people. We had to do a video submission basically saying why we deserve to be in the competition. So I did the video submission. It was like a 6-minute video. He ended up picking 11 finalists. There was 10 guys and one lady. And we did that. That started about a year ago. And he chiseled it down to 5 and now down to the top 3. And here we are. And next Tuesday at BrainShare out in San Antonio, Texas, we will know the winner. Right now, we do have voting up. So you can vote right now at Killing Commercial Insurance. I think it's just killingcommercial.com/the Protégé. So,
yeah, if you type into Google the Protégé and then just the word insurance, the very first link that comes up is the voting link.
Correct.
And it pulls up and it's got your 3 guys on there.
Yep.
So I guess my first question to you, And I'll let Sean ask some questions as well. I know he's got some questions for you today, too. And you said something just a minute ago, because you and I are in the same niche, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I've had a hard time with my commercial agents here that are in that niche is that whole mentality of, well, that's from a property investor standpoint, that leading with the workers' comp thing just doesn't really jive with what we do. Tell my agents that I've had a hard time getting to go through Killing Commercial, what all you've learned, you know, the things that you've learned and the things that have made you better from being a part of the protege.
A couple of things. Number one, it's not just about, you said, leading with work comp. That's not necessarily, that is David's tactic, one of his tactics, and a lot of the people in the program, but there are other people in the group that don't use that tactic. You know, middle market commercial insurance, even in the real estate investment space, David's program is more of, I don't want to say a blueprint, but for a lack of better terms, of how to build something from, you know, first base all the way to home plate. And one thing I struggled with personally inside of my agency is I get horse blinders on. Once I start to really dive in, let's just say to the real estate investor program, and I'm doing really well, I have horse blinders on to a lot of other things that are going on around me. And that can be deadly to an agency. So I know it's not exactly like the Killing Commercial Insurance program. He said it's not a teaser, but it is a taste and a flavor of what you're going to expect. But we basically have it start to finish. And the cool thing about this program and going through it is I can literally take it and apply it to any vertical that I want to go through. So one of the things in this competition from day one that we had to decide, and this was, mind you, this is when COVID was literally just beginning. So he made us pick a vertical or an industry inside of anything that's thriving in COVID. And if you remember back when COVID first started, a lot of businesses were shutting doors. So it was very difficult just to pick an industry. So I ended up going after the health tech sector and laser focused on cyber insurance. In our organization, as you're aware, like I keep saying, we have the real estate investor niche, but I really wanted to expand upon that into other areas. And this gave me the opportunity to do that. So that's why I focus on that particular niche, the health tech sector. They're booming. I mean, they're busting at the seams with Zoom and telehealth and all these different things. It's become exasperated in a good way. And that's kind of what I've laser focused on. So,
hey, I want to compliment you on a couple things. Episode 8, I'm watching you this morning. I watched everybody, but I'm specifically watching you because I'm interviewing you today and we're talking. And you came out of the gate and I literally did like the fist bump when you did it. But when you did the calling the person, the couple of people out by name, and you were like, okay, what he was doing, he had to do an elevator speech. Justin had to do an elevator speech, but then he had to do kind of a script where he was calling a business to talk to somebody about, you know, writing their insurance or meeting, something like that. And you come out of the gate with, I've done my research. I only called these two people's names out because from my research, I know they're the two that handle this kind of thing there. And you were the only one that did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, tip of the hat to Mr. Ryan Hanley. So just so you guys know that are listening or watching this, Bradley Flowers, who's obviously not here right now, he's one of my coaches. I think each team, there was like three teams. Each team had two coaches. Ryan Hanley's one of my competitors' coach. But I was on his podcast probably, I don't know, 6 months ago or something like that. And afterwards, he's like, hey, man, you got to try out this web domain. I'm like, what is it? He goes, hunter.io. I'm like, what the hell is this hunter.io? So basically, just so you guys know, you can use this web domain. You put in basically any business web domain and it scrapes the internet, basically any kind of contact or email address, et cetera. And I believe it even has a position and title. So right. One of the challenges that you're alluding to was to, I think it was a cold phone call where I had to just cold call businesses. I cold call nobody. I'm not trying to sound pompous or anything. We've worked hard to get here, but you know, business kind of falls on our laps here because we built our niche so successfully. So doing that challenge was one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. So that was a cool experience. And that actually helped generate some of the business inside of this program. And that's how I was able to make it to the top three, which is really awesome.
So what do you think the hardest part has been relative to you getting out of your comfort zone? Because all of you guys that are in this are having to kind of step outside your comfort zone. And you can tell that with some people, at least through episode 8, more than with other people. But what do you feel like has been the hardest thing to do as far as stepping outside?
Yeah, I think just putting my current niche on the side for a little bit and focusing on this, because I feel like I'm doing a little bit of a disservice to my clients, but also I need to look in the mirror. And I did say to myself when I first threw my hat in the ring to compete was I wanted to expand our niche product offerings inside of the agency. Our sister agency, Bongiovanni Insurance and Financial, does do some benefits for some healthcare related companies. And as I'm looking at kind of the marketplace, specifically what's growing, what's not growing, et cetera, health tech is just booming like gangbusters. And I needed a way, like you said earlier, David, and a lot of the people in the group like to lead with work comp, which can be easy or can be difficult depending on the client. But I like to also run towards where people are running away. Right. And what I'm finding is cyber insurance in the health tech sector is very difficult, not only to get quotes on, but secure coverage because of the data that they're collecting. They're collecting the three different data points, PCI, PHI, and PII, that other businesses might not be collecting. So the premiums are very high. The coverages, you know, are sometimes limited, but I'm leading with the cyber and then trying to BOR or at least have the opportunity to quote the other lines of business. So, you know, these accounts are middle market commercial accounts and they're growing like gangbusters. I mean, some of these companies are having year over year growth in the thousands percent, not hundreds, you know. So,
hey, I always say this to our audience, competence equals confidence. How long, how many hours did you spend going back to college? Because here's the thing. You get in a niche in commercial and you get comfortable with that and you become kind of a name people know and they do business with and you're rolling in it. It's like you said, it's coming in. You don't have to do a bunch of cold calling. And it's so hard to go bounce outside of that into another vertical because people just don't like change, first of all. But hell, if you're making good money in this niche, why the hell do I want to go over here and do something else? But how many hours from a competence standpoint did you have to go back to college? If I'm just saying that, but really that's kind of what it's like to learn this vertical so that you were confident enough to pick up the phone and call somebody.
Sure. I think two things. Number one, like you said in your introduction, I worked for two wholesalers. It was technically one. SH Smith and Company was acquired by RT Specialty, but while I was there, I was fortunate enough to work hand in hand with a couple of cyber insurance experts, Betty Shepard in particular. She's now over at Great American, I believe. But, you know, working closely with her, I worked in the small commercial binding authority unit. So anytime cyber, we needed it, I'd reach out to her and she'd help me through that. So I do have a background in cyber. It's not as robust as some of the other players that I know that are in the space, but that's one of the answers. And the other one would be early on, actually, it was the beginning when David said, hey, you got to pick a vertical, like you got to do something. I did my first episode, which you guys haven't seen the full thing. It's like a 30 minute documentary, market research analysis, and like just crazy data points on my research in this space. And it wasn't specifically focused on cyber insurance, but it was focused on the actual sector, the health tech sector. So I was able to get a good understanding, like where the players are, where they're located. Ironically enough, I'm in Connecticut. Most of them are either in Boston or New York, a lot on the West Coast as well. But geographically speaking, I couldn't have been in a better position to go after this space. I have a lot of family in the healthcare sector as well. So they've been able to help me and open some doors that probably I would not have gotten into. So that was pretty cool.
In regards to that, how does your first niche kind of play into this new niche? Whether you went back to college or not, you had a lot of practice.
Yeah. The actual niche itself, nothing, but the the processes is exactly the point. David and everything I've learned through this program, he kind of put my previous processes on steroids. I have a pretty good dialed in system to the point where it kind of works on its own. I'm not there yet with this cyber product, but I do have it where, you know, it's in our CRM, it goes through some automation. And some of these things, kudos to Bradley Flowers. You know, he helped me work some cold email campaigns that previously were not good. They were horrible, to say the least. And he took a mini novel and got it dialed in down to like a 2-3 sentence blurb with a video and stuff like that. So, you know, what's funny is this whole program actually helped my real estate investment insurance, you know, niche specialty become even better because I started learning certain tools and tricks of the trade in the protege competition that I didn't know prior. So it all ended up working out.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Now you're in the top three.
Now I'm in the top three. And as of right now, me and Derek Hayden are just fighting toe to toe. I mean,
Ryan Keating.
Yeah, no offense to my buddy, Ryan Keating, a very good friend of mine up here in West Hartford, Connecticut. I think he had a late start this morning, maybe, but me and, you know, I woke up this morning and Derek was at 99%. I didn't even know it was live yet. So did a lot of texting, a lot of emails, a lot of social media. I'm gonna put out some videos tonight so people can vote between now and next Tuesday. So get your votes in, Justin Sloan. Don't vote for the other two guys. Vote for me.
Hey, let me say this. I've watched, I guess, 4 or 5 episodes. There were two people that really stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
One is you and the other is Derek Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
I want a piece of him. I don't want a piece of him.
So that makes sense.
I don't want a piece of him. I want the whole damn thing. I want to go sell against that son of a gun. Because let me tell you something. When I watch his body language, his tonality, his just overall attitude and the things he does on there, I would love to go up against him in sales. I think that would be two people. That'd be two pretty.
You're the same guy, Scott. You're the same guy.
Right, I know. But when I see him, I'm like, yeah, that guy, you better watch him. He's going to sell the shit out of some insurance. So cool. I do like the two of you, to me, are the most impressive. Let me ask you a question, Justin. Why do insurance agents have such a negative connotation related to scripts? I've noticed, like on today's episode, you guys were scripting. There have been some other times I've watched y'all do kind of a scripting type thing going on. But I hear a lot of agents out there. I know a lot of agents that just hate scripts. They don't want to do a script. What do you think the reason is for that?
Yeah, you're talking like what I did with the cold phone call. Yeah. So I think the toughest thing is a lot of people. Well, it depends how you look at it. A lot of people are either really comfortable talking to people and then other people are just not, right? So if you're not comfortable to somebody and you have a script, you probably have a little more confidence. But, you know, what I didn't like, and I personally, I'm not opposed to it, but what I didn't like about the script and that task that David made us come up with, and I know why he did and I understand it, but it didn't let me be myself. Because when you're on a phone call and you hear somebody reading from a script, you can kind of almost tell it, you know, and being authentic and smiling while you're calling and just being your normal self. I think you have greater success doing that. I've never went to a captive company or something like that where they do cold calling and they have their scripts. And, you know, I don't know what their conversion rates are like, but I think the reason why my agency, myself, has so much success is, yes, we have a format. Yes, we need to ask certain questions, but conversations aren't always check the boxes. You know, they sometimes go off the script and you find out even more information that you previously probably wouldn't have found out if you just stuck to it. So that was definitely one of the hardest challenges for me. And I know we keep talking about it, but I'm not a fan of a script. I like to have one for guidance and reference points, but I kind of like going with the flow.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and answer my own question. Here's the monologue. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as a lifetime of a backbone spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sets by the mere freedom in which I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just say thank you or pick up a weapon and stand a post. But either way, I don't give a damn what you think you're entitled to. What was that?
I don't know, but I'm going to give you my wallet. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I feel like I just got stuck up.
Let me tell you what that was, folks. That was Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men, in the courtroom. And guess what he was just doing? That was a script. That was a script. He had a script that somebody wrote, and he learned that shit front to back and back to front. When you watch your favorite movie, whether it's Matthew McConaughey, whether it's Jack Nicholson, whether it's whoever, they are reading a script to learn. Now, they have anywhere from on a small part that they might get paid $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for, just a minor role. They might only have to 2 or 3 weeks to learn the small part, or they might have 6 months to learn it. But they are learning a script. And I have never understood why insurance agents can't understand that if you will take a script and learn it front to back, back to front, put it in your own words, it doesn't have to sound like a script. You're no different than an actor. That has been my one thing as I watch The Protégé, not with you, not with Derek Hayden. I want all of Derek Hayden. I want every bit of it. I want him on the podcast, by the way. I like the shit out of that guy. But why don't more agents understand I'm going to learn this script, and I'm not going to sit there and go, I'm going to learn it so well that then I can create motion and emotion. You know, motion creates emotion, right? I hear some of those guys on The Protégé, and I'm like, guys, listen, this ain't gonna work. This ain't gonna work. You got to put it all this in your own words, and you got to be passionate. You got to be emotional, and you got to talk to people. I wrote this down today, Sean. I wrote, anyone that moves you has great energy. You feel their confidence, their certainty. You have to transfer that to the client, whether that's in person or over the telephone. And I think Justin has that probably sometimes more than others, but the best agents I've ever met, the David Carruthers is an actor. Scott Howell is an actor. I've seen David Carruthers do videos to prospects where he's like, "Hey, my name's David Carruthers and I'm Mr. Humility." And then I've seen David Carruthers do videos for agents that are like, "Get your ass out." You know, he's got that. He's got that energy, that confidence, that certainty that you have to have. I don't see that with many of the guys on The Protégé, not as much as I'd like to. It's more like, I want to see more of that. Do you agree or disagree with that, Justin?
I agree.
Am I completely insane? Am I crazy?
No, you're not. I'm not going to call out names, but you kind of get a feel like David early on. None of us knew what this competition was. I don't even think David knew what it was. And I kind of saw after the first challenge where this was going. Like, at the end of the day, what do, Scott? We sell a promise to pay on an insurance claim, right? I mean, yeah, everybody collects premium, et cetera, gets their commission. But, you know, at the end of the day, I knew inevitably we're going to have to put our, you know, money where our mouth is, so to speak. And I knew he was going to have us create pipeline and get leads in and sell to them and try and write a crap ton of business. So I saw that on the first challenge. So I just went full tilt. I mean, I had my CRM. I was on Pipe Drive at the time. I had my CRM queued up with, I don't know, a couple hundred businesses after the first challenge. So, you know, the second challenge, third, fourth, fifth came out, and I was already like a few weeks ahead of people. And some of these people were still stuck on the first challenge type thing. So I think I had a little bit of a head start on everybody. And I think that really helped me get to the final three. It was tough. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the last few months he made us produce, he said, "Hey, you guys got 90 days to produce as much business as you can." This was to the top five people. And whoever's the top three producing agents gets to go to San Antonio. And I was fortunate enough to have that jump start. And I only wrote one account. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I know Derek Hayden wrote a crap ton of business over there. You know, I wrote one account, and that one account generated enough revenue for, you know, me to be in the top three. And I have a bunch of irons in the fire. I have a lot of opportunities that are still there. It's just, you know, when you're going after middle market commercial accounts, guy, as you're aware, this isn't like a 90-day let's meet and greet and all of a sudden we're, you know, BOR and $500,000 policies. You know, these people, I'm jumping into a sector, an industry that no one really knows my name, and they're trying to trust me with their business that's generating $10, $20, $30 million a year in sales. You know, it's a lot of these brokers are the alphabet houses of the industry that are publicly traded organizations and little old, you know, little me minnow guy over here coming in. Who's this guy at BSP Insurance, you know, and what's he know? So it's been fun.
I am so proud of you though, for getting out of your comfort zone, because people, it is so hard for people to do that. I hope that David does this again next year. I don't know if he will or not. I know it's been a huge time commitment, but I will say this for any of you out there listening, the 250,000 agents out there listening right now, if you're in commercial insurance, do yourself a favor, go to the Protege, start watching it from episode one. I think I got to 5 and then I skipped to 8 today because I wanted to get one of the most recent episodes that I knew you would, you know, obviously be on. And I think y'all are up to like episode 10 now, something like that.
Yeah, it's all the videos are done. So whatever is theirs. Yep.
And so for these agents out here, you know, our mission on this podcast for Sean and I is to help insurance agents any way we can. I don't care what it is. What is some advice that you've learned? And I think some of it you've already spoken to today, but more granular, if we can, on things you learned during this time period, this last, 6 months? Is that about how long it's been going on?
I submitted my request to be in the Protege. I was just looking back, second week in October, it looks like, of last year.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
Give these guys, these commercial agents, some granular stuff, that just some few things that you've picked up on that you're like, shit, why wasn't I doing that before now?
This is going to sound pretty basic, but less is more. And what I mean by that is when I'm competing with people, they got alphabet soup after their name, CIC, CPCU, every single designation, which is great. But, you know, at the end of the day, our consumers, the people that buy from us, don't have that. They trust that we know what we're doing, right? So a lot of the issues that I was having early on was I was doing diarrhea of the email or the phone call or whatever the marketing piece I was putting out. But, you know, at the end of the day, you almost have to put yourself in your consumer's shoes and figure out why they're buying from you. And, you know, at the end of the day, also the video that I put out, the cold email, like I said, it was like 2 sentences long. The video was under 30 seconds. My original version of that was like 4 paragraphs. And the video was like an 8-minute video. And I'm like, you can't scale this. You know, if you're going to be cold emailing people, you can't be doing this stuff. So less is more, because people's attention span nowadays with TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat and all this stuff, people want to consume content very quickly, very efficiently. And people know they're very, very smart. They don't want to be upsold or, you know, made a fool of. So dumb it down. Keep it simple, you know, keep it short. Also, another thing that I learned through this program is trusting in others. I have business partners, Chris Paradiso, the Bongiovanni family. I have a lot of trust in them, but trusting in others that are trying to help you. I think early on, I was a little reluctant to reach out to even my coaches, like Bradley and Josh, because I know they're super busy with things like this, the podcast and stuff. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to lean on people, but also be willing to reciprocate. I think a lot of people nowadays, and I get this even after being on episode 103, I think once that went live, I think within the first week or two, I had like 60, 70, something like that, emails, LinkedIn. And I told people to hit me up, but a giver's gain, right? If you can give back, you know, find what people need. If you're trying to achieve something, you know, try and see what that other person needs, because at the end of the day, it might end up being for the better. Chris Paradiso did this to me a long time ago when I had my first insurance agency. I didn't have a lot of markets, so he helped me out, you know, get access to some, and he just was selfishly giving to me. And now full circle, I'm a business partner with the guy, you know, and I don't think he ever envisioned that, but you know, at the end of the day, just doing that and doing it consistently with nothing expected in return is definitely something that's I've picked up a lot on through this program. So,
hey, Sean, I got a question for you.
What's that?
I think Justin and I are very much alike in that I have a hard time asking people for help. I always feel like I'm bothering them. I know they're busy. I know other people are busy in the industry. Like there have been times, it'd been probably 4 or 5 times I've actually looked at my phone and pulled up Chris Paradiso's number. And we talk regularly. I'd say once a month, but I don't call him as much as I probably should. Do you find yourself that way as well? Or do you have a problem with asking people for help?
Yeah. I think that stems back to the time we were kids where your parents told you to go try it on your own. takes a couple times of falling on your face to then stand up and find the people that help you stand back up and do it again. So I think there's a lot of, especially young agents who look up to both you, Scott, and you, Justin, and I'm one of them. I was just lucky enough to be part of this podcast, I guess, today, and going to Brainshare next week to hopefully watch Justin raise his hand and Derek lose and cry in front of everybody else.
Right.
But no, I mean, it's always scary to ask for help. But once you do, I think it becomes a lot easier, right? It's like anything else in life. You do it once, it becomes a habit.
I agree with that too. I think the more you do ask for help from people who love and care about you and do want to see you succeed, and you kind of realize, hey, that, you know, they do want to help me, I think it is easier to help. I think that's a great point. I like that a lot. I think I'm one of those people, and I think I've gotten better at it this year than I have in the past, where I just sit there and look at my phone and go, they're too busy to talk to me. I don't want to call them. All that shit that goes on in your mind that you're thinking, kind of like when you're about to call a prospect and you're like, I don't know if I want to call a prospect today. I don't know. It's your mind's telling you all the reasons why. I do the same thing working out too. It's so funny because I'll sit there in my mind, I'll make up, I can't work out today. I've just got so much to do. And then finally I'll just look at myself and go, stop being a bitch and go work out. Damn.
You sound like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. So let's end this thing this way. The protege ends. You take a ton of lessons from it. You have to. There's no way. You've been doing this shit for almost a year. There's no way. The relationships, the stuff you've learned from not only David, but everybody else that's been a part of it. What's next? Is this going to be the jumping off point for you to create more vertical opportunities, or do you think you'll just stay with the two that you've kind of...
Being one of the owners here, I do have a lot of say in regards to, you know, what happens going forward. If, you know, if I am the winner, the actual prize is you become a member of the Killen Commercial Insurance community, and David's going to fly up and teach us even more. And he doesn't just do it for me. He does it for the whole organization. And if that occurs, I think, you know, that's going to be huge for our agency, because we're in the process of partnering up with another company, and we're basically going to double in size by January 1st. So with that being said, I think it would be perfect timing. And if that doesn't occur, I still feel, as I bring on new producers, I'm going to use this model, because I do know a few agency principals that do require new producers to pick a couple verticals right out of the gate just to laser focus on, because, you know, being a generalist is fine to pay the bills and whatnot. But if you really want to see an agency scale and scale quickly, you know, it's much easier to do it when you're in a particular niche. So, you know, I always wanted to do more than just the real estate insurance space. I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. We are generalists as well, but I do foresee, whether it's the health tech sector or another one, I will take the skill set that I've acquired over the past year and apply it to whatever vertical I end up choosing. So,
right. Sean, you got anything else for us today?
The only thing I really wanted to mention was, Justin, obviously, you can show the power of the middle market insurance just by making it here with one single client or one sold policy. So I think that shows that this works, right?
Yeah.
There's enough money in this that it works.
Yeah, it works. I know Derek, he's cranking right now. I mean, he's going full tilt with it. And I don't know if he's just focused on that going forward inside of his agency or not. I chose not to, just because it's very difficult for the health tech sector. For me personally, to go full steam ahead at this current moment. But I think, you know, inevitably it's something I would like to pursue probably close to 50% of my time in. But I think with the merger happening over the next few months, it's something that I'm probably going to wait for that to occur, because I don't want to go full tilt and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're going to pull out or something like that. But yeah, it's been a fun learning experience. So,
Justin, I really appreciate you being on today. Before we end this podcast, guys, do me a favor, go to glovebox.com, our title sponsor, our only sponsor of this podcast that allows us to come on each and every week and reach all of you agents and try to help each and every one of you. Even if it's just one or two little things that you take away, go to glovebox.com and do a demonstration with those guys. I tell you what you need to do, guys. Listen to me. Go to my website. our business website here, www.iprotectinsurance.com, we now have a client login portal on the front page of our website where you can log in, get all of your deck pages, your ID cards, all of that through Glovebox. It is a game changer for us. It has been a game changer for us, and it's helped lower some of the calls that we get. We've also started going ahead at the end of the sales process, going ahead and getting people logged in to Glovebox and downloading the app on their phone, because as I've said before, that's the time to do that. Not 60 days later, you know, when they're doing something else. Let's go ahead and do it at the end of the sales process. But been a lifesaver for us. We love Glovebox. I love Glovebox, and I appreciate them so much being a sponsor of this podcast. Justin Sloan, we love you very, very much. And I personally wish that I could have gone down to San Antonio. Jason Cass asked me 5 times if I was going, and I just kept saying, Jason, I can't right now. I've got Bradley's having a baby, and I'm kind of taking up the slack here with that. I've been to 2 brain shares already this year. I went to Chris Paradiso's, which we were together at up in Boston.
Yeah.
And then we just got back from a brain share in Las Vegas, Nevada, with Mike Stromso's UPP brain share. And then yesterday I got an invite by my friend and great American, Mr. Warren Barhorst, who he's forgotten more insurance than I know, to come down. I think he's got a mastermind down in Texas that he wants. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to that or not, but I'm going to try. But I just, you know, you've only got so much capacity, Justin. That's probably one thing we didn't talk about today, is how to be a dad and an insurance agent and do the protege and go back to college to learn a new vertical. How did you fit all that in? I know it was a hard go. It had to be.
I actually have a clone. It's sitting right next to me, and he's not as smart as me, but he's more handsome. Nah, it's just, like you said earlier, you know, passion exudes, you know, comes through, but I'm very passionate about insurance and just helping others and things of that nature. So when you're passionate about something, you always find the time for it. So being a dad, obviously number one, but you know, insurance and family, you know, kind of goes hand in hand and protecting lives and things of that nature. So I found the time, you know, and COVID happened too. So it was tough juggling, you know, at that time, a 1-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son, staying home, no daycare because they were closed, and doing this and running the agency and growing the agency. I don't know. I think I blacked out in 2020, and here we are. I'm here. I just sold a lot of insurance and somehow stumbled into the top 3. So,
well, one thing I've noticed about you, Justin, is you seem to keep it in fifth gear a lot. I mean, you seem to be in fifth gear a pretty good bit. The times I've called you, you can tell you're in fifth gear. And I think you stay there a pretty good bit, which is another hallmark of a successful agent, is they're able to stay in fifth gear a pretty good bit of time. Not always, but a lot of times they're in fifth gear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to, you know, beginning of the day, one of the biggest things that I do, especially, it's actually the night before. So on Sunday nights, I already know my entire day Monday. It's not a lot. I try and plan 4 or 5 decent things to do that upcoming day, and I time block it. And then everything else that comes my way, if I can't get to it, I try and delegate. And I'm able to delegate because I have a rock star team here at BSP. And if I can't delegate it and I need to do it, then I need to find time. And usually that time is after hours, after the kids go to bed. And you know, if it becomes a problem, I need to look in the mirror and say, all right, why is this becoming a problem? Is it something that I need to hire somebody for? Or it could be mowing your lawn. It could be something as basic as that, you know, but at the end of the day, like I said, if you're passionate about it and you love it, you're going to find time to get it done. And yeah, it might appear I'm always in fifth gear, but you know what, you know, 6 o'clock rolls around and the kids are there. You know, I'm not saying I come out of fifth gear, but it's, you know, family first and, different fifth gear.
Chasing
them around. I'm probably in sixth gear, you know. But
hey, Justin, tell these guys where they can go to watch the protege, because I know a lot of them are like, where the hell do we go to watch this?
Yeah, actually, I'm pulling up right now. I'm pretty sure it's just killingcommercial.com. Let me just pull it up real quick. Killingcommercial.com/theprotege. Mm-hmm. And if you go on there, that's where you can vote. And then if you scroll down, it's going to have all the videos, all three of the finalists. Actually, I think the top five all did podcasts with David Carruthers. Mm-hmm. And then you can also watch every single episode of The Protégé and check it out. Love to have the support from you guys and everybody on the podcast. So,
well, I appreciate that. I know one other place you can go, guys, if you go to YouTube and you type in The Protégé and then just insurance, it will pull up and you can watch the episodes there as well. But if you go to the place that Justin just mentioned, you can watch them in order and all that one after the other. So I would highly encourage you guys to do that. Sean Kirby, thank you for flying the airplane with me today, co-pilot. I appreciate it so much, more than you know.
Thank you for having me. I'm just happy to be here.
Hey, brother, you did a great job. And you are always welcome. You just tell me and I'll make it happen, okay? Anything you need from me, you let me know. Guys, as I always end every podcast, rewards come from action, not discussion. Get your ass out from behind that desk today and go out into the big bad world. Create relationships. Keep it in fifth gear as much as you can, as long as you can. Ride insurance. Figure out what your why is and go out there and make money for your husband, your wife, your kids' college fund, your parents that are struggling out there today, go make money for them. Write good business for the agencies that you represent and write good business for the companies that you represent. Guys, I appreciate all of you so much. We love each and every one of you, and we appreciate you being a part of our family, and we look forward to seeing you back here real soon. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Insurance Guys podcast. If you need to know more about me or you need to get in touch with Scott, you can always reach me at theinsuranceguyonline.com or email me at scott@iprotectinsurance.com. And if you need to get in touch with Mr. Bradley Flowers, go to portalinsurance.com or email him at bradley@portalinsurance.com. Guys, we love you. We thank you so much for listening to our show and being a part of our family. And we look forward to seeing you again next week on the next episode of the Insurance Guys podcast. Take care.